Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for the help and the encouragement that we have already received from the sessions. Lord, I pray for this session now. Lord, you know that I've prepared, I've prayed, and I want to be a blessing to these ladies. I don't want to waste their time and have them feel like that they've gotten nothing from the workshop. Please help them to glean some nuggets that they can take home and be a better grandma. We just pray now that you'd bless in this time. Help me to say just what you'd have me to say, and just give me clearness of thought and bless in this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Joan Taylor. This session is called Nuggets for Nanas, or we could say Gems for Grandmas. We have 8 grandchildren. They range in age from 17 to 4. 5 of them live in the area. 3 live in Chicago. So we're able to see them fairly regularly and have a part in their lives. Now, I'll be the first to admit I don't have all the grandparenting answers or ideas, but I do have some nuggets or some gems that I want to share with you. You know, I also realize that our situations can be so different. The circumstances of our grandparenting, the ages of our grandchildren makes a difference in what you can do with them, the number of grandchildren you have, the location where they live, the spiritual condition of the parents makes a difference in your grandparenting, the teaching that the grandchildren are getting in the home and at church and other things, the amount of time that you're able to spend with them. All of these things cause our situations to be different. So what works for me might not necessarily work for you. What works for you might not work for your neighbor. But we can glean ideas from each other. You know, something I've learned over the years in talking to ladies, anytime you talk to some ladies, you can glean something, whether it's something about cooking or cleaning or grandparenting or parenting or wifing or whatever. Everybody has ideas that you can glean and share. And so I hope that you can glean some nuggets from this session that'll help you to be a better nana or grandma or whatever you're called. Now we're going to have to move along fairly quickly because of our time constraints. So if you have questions or if you don't understand something that I talk about or explain, just see me afterwards because I'd be glad to chat with you. You have 3 handouts. One of them is the basic outline that we'll be using. It is very basic. It just has the categories on it. And the purpose of that is I know that everything I suggest is not going to be something that you're going to want to put into your plans. And so there's space then, as I say something you think, you know, I like that idea, or that's something that would work for me, then you can write it down in the space that's allowed there. The other 2 handouts I'll refer to as we go along. The first category that we're going to think about is spiritual. There are 2 verses there. The first category that we'll discuss is spiritual. And I put 2 verses there to save time so that we won't have to find those scripture verses. I've written them out on a card, so let me just read them to you. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons." That's your grandchildren. Psalm 145:4, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." So those are two good verses for us. I think the most important thing that we can do for our grandchildren is teach them spiritual truths and let them see those spiritual truths lived out in our lives. One thing is pray for them. One of your handouts, the little small lilac sheet, is how to pray for your grandchildren. Let me tell you how I use this. I've used this for a number of years. I pray for numbers 1 and 2 on Sunday, for numbers 3 and 4 on Monday, etc., so that I'm praying for each of these items for my 8 grandchildren throughout the week. And then you could do it where you pray for 1 a day and then do it within the 2 weeks. I'm not sure if I said it the first. I think I did, that our grandchildren range in age from 17 to 4, so that kind of gives you a time frame of what I'm talking about here. Sorry, my brain kind of went somewhere else. Okay. So just pray for your grandchildren daily, though, and let them know you're praying for them. And pray specifically for each one. Before school started this past fall, I asked my grandchildren's parents, my sons and their wives, my daughters-in-law, to give me a list of things for each of their children that would be specific requests that they'd like for us to pray for. Because, you know, each child is different, and each child has different needs. And so they did that, and I put those on 3x5 cards, so I have a card for each of the 8 grandchildren with specific requests. I pray for these other things for all of them also, but then specific requests for the 8 grandchildren. Now, I have a book that I'm going to recommend. This is a new book, fairly new book, and it's a brand new book to me. Mrs. Henderson got them for the book table, and the book is My Grandmother is Praying for Me. She had ordered them for the conference and showed it to me last week, and so I went ahead and bought one because I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to recommend a book, I want to at least know what I'm recommending. I like it. And let me tell you how it's laid out. Again, it's My Grandmother is Praying for Me. And let me give you you don't necessarily need to write this down, but it's written by 3 ladies, Catherine March, Pamela Ferris, and Susan Kelton, 3 ladies. It's laid out where every month you're praying for a specific character quality. Like January is you pray that your grandchildren would demonstrate faithfulness. February, that your grandchildren would be teachable. Now in March, that your grandchildren would learn discipline. And then it goes on each month, graciousness, they would possess graciousness, that they would show generosity, etc. So it's laid out like that for the month. And then every day, there are 3 items. First of all, there's a proverb that goes along with that character quality. Then there's prayer that you can pray for your grandchildren to incorporate that character quality into their life. And then there's an activity that allows the grandmother and the grandchild to interact in a practical application of that. And so I just highly recommend that. And like I said, she has them for sale. They are $13 plus tax, which is $13.91. And she does have them in the bookstore. The one request that Mrs. Henderson asked is, she says, if ladies from Colonial Hills want to buy it, if they would just wait and until the other ladies can buy it, because she can order them. If she runs out, then she can order them for the Colonial Hills ladies. And we want the visiting ladies to get them first. So I do recommend that book. Then another thing is, use every opportunity you have to talk to them about the Lord and to teach them about the Lord. One thing that I have loved over the years at Easter, and Easter is coming, is the resurrection eggs. They come in a little packet like this. Christian bookstores carry them. I know Lifeway has always carried them. I didn't check to see if they have them this year, but I assume they do. And then the plastic eggs, there are 12 plastic eggs, and they come in a little carton, a little egg carton. And each one of the eggs has an item in it. It teaches the Easter story as you progress. The first one, and in the inside the carton, it tells what's in the blue one. Is there's a little donkey that talks about the walk into Jerusalem, and it goes on. There's a little booklet that goes with it too, and it explains each item. The second one has 3 little coins. Well, that is, you know, Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And so it goes all the way through. I've used this with my grandchildren for a number of years. And when they're real small, of course, you're teaching it to them. But when they get older, they like to teach it to you. And so I have some in both categories. And last Easter, I had 2 of my granddaughters over. They were at that time 7 and 3, I believe. And so the 7-year-old, of course, she was able to tell me the story. And so she would let her little sister, Emily, open the eggs, and then she would tell her what the item inside meant. And so Emily got to the last one, the light blue one, and she opened it, and she was not very happy. She says, "Nana, there is nothing in this egg." I said, "Yes." You know why? Because the tomb is empty. Jesus didn't stay dead. And so you go into why we have Easter. It's a wonderful way to teach Easter. And, you know, it's fun then, too, like I say, for the grandchildren as they get a little bit older to do it themselves. So we've enjoyed the resurrection eggs over the years. Nativity sets. I know we have a lot of breakable nativity sets. But the one I like best is a Fisher-Price nativity set that's for the children. And they come over and they just enjoy this Fisher-Price nativity. And I would highly recommend that, either for you to have yourself or you to give to them to have at their home. But there again, you can talk about the real reason of Christmas and how everything, you know, you have the shepherds and the different ones, and they can use the little figures and they can tell the Christmas story too. So it's just another way to teach them and train them. For gifts, give them Christian books. Give them books about missionaries and other Christians that you'd like for them to model their lives after. This past Christmas, we gave our older grandchildren devotional books. And a really good one for elementary age children who can read is something called Keys for Kids. I have just a sample copy here. But each day there's scripture reading. These are for the elementary age children who are at the level where they can read it themselves. And they read the scripture verse. There's a cute little story, and then there's an application of that. Questions, how are you going to do this, and that type of thing. One of the nice things about this is the booklet is for 2 months. And so there was a January, February, but then towards the end of February, in the mail, they will receive March and April. And so it's something for them to look forward to. Plus, it's just a reminder, yes, you need to, again, keep going, keep reading your Bible, and keep staying in the Word. So devotional books are wonderful to give to your grandchildren. And by the way, here's an 800 number if you want to just check on information about Keys for Kids. It would be 1-888-224-2324. And again, that was 1-888-224-2324. And then the website is Keys for Kids, not the four, the number four, but F-O-R, keysforkids.org. So you might want to check that out as something to give to your grandchildren. Then make a big deal over scripture verses that they learn. Ask them what they're learning. Listen to them. Encourage them. Be excited when they learn scripture verses. Then listen to them pray. You can learn a lot when you hear children pray. What faith children have. Listen to them pray and encourage them to pray about things. If you know that they're concerned about something or something's going on that they need to pray about, encourage them to pray about it and tell them you'll pray about it too. And then check with them to find out how the Lord has answered that prayer and remind them, you know, we prayed about that. And God answered your prayer, didn't He? And so that's a good way to teach them to pray. The next category that I want to talk to you about is journals or albums. Oh. Okay, we had a little catastrophe up here at the front. You okay? Thank you. Okay. Okay, journals or albums. When our first grandchild was 8 years old, I came across an idea that I want to share with you. I have a scrapbook album for each of our grandchildren. Really, for the older ones, this is the second album for one of my granddaughters. So this does not start at birth. I have another one that started at birth. But I have a scrapbook for each of my 8 grandchildren. Now, yeah, I think we have one more seat back there. Now, I want to say something. Don't turn me off. If you're not a scrapbooker, don't turn me off. Okay? Please don't turn me off. Because I do it using pictures and journaling. But the lady who shared this idea with me just did journaling. And you could just get some of these little journals like you have and just do journaling. You wouldn't have to put pictures there. The idea is that you want to share their life and your life with them. In my albums, I record cute things that they say and cute things that they do. You know, I didn't do that with my own children, and I wish I had. But with my grandchildren, I'm keeping track of the cute things. And, you know, you forget. So I keep track of the cute things they say, the cute things they do, the things that we do together. I tell them how special they are. I encourage them spiritually. I say things like, I'm so glad that your parents take you to Sunday school. And I hope that you'll always love the Lord. And just every time I can, I put in something like that, just as a thought to them. I think, you know, maybe someday, if the Lord tarries, maybe someday they'll, if they're away from the Lord, a word like that might be an encouragement for them to come back to the Lord. And so I use them for spiritual reasons too. But this is just a way to share your heart with them. And again, you can do it just as a journal, not an album, if that is the way you would like to. Let me say this too. You know, anybody that's a scrapbooker knows that you just can't keep up with things when you're scrapbooking. You know, you get so far behind. And I do not keep up with all eight of them by any means. But I have an envelope for each one of them. And anytime we take a picture or something that I think, oh, that'd be nice for their album, I put it in the envelope. Or something that cute they say or something that happens, I just write that down and I put it in their envelope. So that when I'm ready to work on the album, I don't have to think, now what was that? Where? Oh, what did she say? You know, I have it right there and I'm able to record it and put the pictures in. You know, also these albums are a way to share your heritage. The album, or I could say journal, either one. My husband and I are in the process of writing a very abbreviated history, our story of our life, and especially including our salvation. And I plan to put those in the albums. The way I plan to do it is to have a two-page spread, Nana's Life and Testimony, and have it here and here. And then the next pages do Papa's Life and Testimony. Because, you know, as I think back, I don't really know much about my grandparents. And really, I don't know a great deal about my parents' upbringing and their lives and the things that I would like to know about them. So I decided a while back that that was something that we ought to do. But I want them to remember that their Nana and Papa were saved. That we love the Lord, and just be sure that your grandchildren know about your life and especially about your salvation. Now, right now, I keep all of my albums at my house, and the grandchildren love to come over and go through them. They especially like to look at their own, but they like to look at their cousins' ones and their brothers or sisters' ones also. Now, I've kind of kept, over the years, I kept thinking, well, now, when do I want to give these to them, you know? And so I think I've decided, our oldest grandson is a junior in high school. So I think, you know, I think I'm going to finish it with his high school graduation and then give that to him then as a graduation present. So that's what I'm thinking at this point. I think I'll probably do that. But if the Lord tarries, I trust that these albums will be a real treasure to them. And most of all, that there'll be a spiritual encouragement to them. But I really want to encourage you to consider this nugget and do it either as an album or just a journal. You know, a journal, anybody could journal thoughts about their grandchildren. And another thing is, my oldest was 8 years old when I started his, so I didn't have things about his birth and all of that. My second grandchild was 3 when I started hers. Then the rest of them I started at their birth. But you know what? You can go back and tell how you felt when you knew that their parents were going to have this baby and how glad you were that God put them into your family. And you can tell some things how you felt about the time when they were born. And even though you don't start right at the time that they are born. But no matter what age of your grandchildren, you could begin at the point that they are now. Okay, number three, category number three is traditions. You know, it's good to have family traditions. Let me tell you just about a few of ours. Christmas Eve is the Taylor Christmas. And in the morning, on Christmas Eve morning, our son and daughter-in-law from Chicago and their three children go with us to visit a shut-in. And we go to encourage them. We sing Christmas carols. The grandchildren do some scripture verses they've learned. Our granddaughter plays a recorder, and so she'll play a little Christmas song on her recorder. And we just have a wonderful visit with a shut-in. We go to take a little bit of sunshine to someone who isn't able to get out. And you know how that is. The other person encourages you much more than you even can encourage them. But it's a wonderful tradition that we have developed. Then in the afternoon, all of the family gets together for our Christmas time. And one thing that the grandchildren and Nana love is the grandchildren put on a program. Now, Nana plans and directs this, you know. And so this is just a fun thing. Well, I just tell the rest of the family, you just go do whatever you want to do while we get our program all planned, and then we have our program. But our oldest grandson plays a guitar, so he's able to play for all the grandchildren to sing Christmas carols and Christmas songs. And then close to Christmas, the different ones start telling me what they want to do. Some of them have learned a scripture verse that they want to tell, or they've learned something at school, some little poem, or a song, or just whatever they want to do to be a part of the program. And then some of them even quote part of the Christmas story. But they just do these things on their own, and then they start telling me what they want to do for our program. So we enjoy that. That's one of our traditions. And then Papa always reads the Christmas story and prays. And then when we have our meal, we have a birthday cake for Jesus. Now, I just order a cake from the bakery, and you'll have the pretty poinsettias, you know, red and green around it, and Happy Birthday Jesus on it. And then we gather around when we have our meal, we gather around the cake, and we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. I can remember, and by the way, we don't put candles on it. I learned this early on. If you have candles, you have eight snotty-nosed kids blowing out candles and blowing their germs all over the cake. So one Christmas, one of my little grandchildren said, Nana, is Mary going to come to Jesus' birthday party? I thought that went in the album. And this past Christmas, my husband asked our 7-year-old grandson, well, what are you going to get for Christmas, Kenneth? He says, Papa, Christmas isn't about presents. It's about Jesus. So he was teaching Papa something. Then at Thanksgiving, I put 5 pieces of candy corn at each person's place. And before they can eat the candy corn, everybody tells 5 things that they're thankful for. And again, it's just a way of being sure that they know why we're having the special day. You know, and even the littlest ones, I remind the parents, and they talk to the little ones about, now what can you say that you're thankful for? And I remember a year or so ago, one of them says, I'm thankful for pretzels. And I thought, well, that's good. And then category number 4 is have fun with them. Your grandchildren are children only once. Enjoy them. And as ours are getting older, I'm also learning that as they get older, they don't have as much time to be with you and do things with you. So while they're young, if you have young grandchildren, enjoy them while they're young. I'll tell you a few things that we do. One is, one of my favorite things is to make cookies with the grandchildren. Now, I get the Pillsbury sugar cookie dough. I don't go to a lot of trouble as far as the baking part, but I get the sugar cookie dough. Then I get out my breadboard, and I get out the canister of flour, and my little sifter, and my roller, and they just go to town, dusting that flour all over that breadboard and cutting out. I have a lot of cookie cutters, cutting out cookies, and we bake them. And, you know, moms really don't want to make a mess. They don't want them to make a mess, but nanas don't care. And I do have a couple of little children's aprons, and that helps helps on their clothes and all. But anyway, and so then for the frosting, I just get canned vanilla frosting, and I put a couple of spoonfuls in several little bowls, and then I get out the food coloring and let them make their own colors. Well, they've gotten to where now they like to mix some colors. And they come up with some colors that aren't so awfully pretty to me, like dead frog green or something like that, you know? But it's okay. It's their cookies, and they're the ones doing it. But something I learned when some of mine were very young is that little children can't control a knife to spread frosting, so I got a supply of pastry brushes. And they paint the frosting on. And so that's just a good little tip. So we love to make cookies. Another thing in the Indianapolis area, of course, and these are no-brainers, but really when we talk about ideas, the sky's the limit, and you have ideas, and I'm just sharing a few of mine, but in Indianapolis, there's the zoo, there's Connor Prairie, there's the Children's Museum, and things like that that you can take your grandchildren to. But, you know, you can also do things that don't cost a penny. Take them to the park. That's just as much fun. Take them to a park and take a picnic lunch with you. And we love doing things like that. Play table games with your grandchildren. We have games that range from just little bitty kid games all the way up to things that we play as adults. And, you know, even the older ones enjoy a game night. And so playing games is fun. Take them shopping for their birthday or Christmas and let them show you some things that they like. Now, I did make a mistake with one of my young ones this year. I just had her for the day, so I thought, well, let's go to Target. And I told her, I said, I just want you to show me some things that you might like for Christmas. And I had my paper and pen out to write down. She wanted everything she saw. So it didn't help too much. with some of the older ones, though, I've taken them shopping, especially for their birthday, and they show me some clothes and things like that they like. Something else that I've done over the years is take a few of them to Dollar Tree and tell them they have $5. And so but when we go in the store, I say, now get you a basket, and you can just put in the basket everything you find that you think you might want. And then when we get everything found, then we're going to look through it, and then you can select what five things you want to have, because you can get five things with $5, plus then I pay the tax, you know. First time I did this, one of them ended up with six things she really wanted. But Nana, I have six things, and my heart said, you know, it's only a dollar. But my brain said, you said five. You got to make it five. Otherwise, she's not going to think you mean what you say the next time. So she decided there were five things that she could have. Another thing we enjoy is doing crafts. I have a craft table, something similar to this, maybe not quite as big as this, but I have rubber stamps and punches and stickers and all that kind of thing, markers and all. And they love just doing crafts. Then let them help cook simple things. One of the funnest things that we do is hot diggity dogs. You're probably familiar with those. You take a wiener and crescent dinner rolls, and you lay it on the crescent dinner roll and roll it up and bake them. And those are something that the grandchildren love helping make. And, of course, if they make something, they like it even better than if you made it for them. Then, if you have granddaughters, have tea parties. Now, I have three sons. I always wanted a little girl, but that wasn't in God's plan for me. But when I started getting granddaughters, I was able to start doing some things that I wanted to do with little girls. And tea parties is one of them. And, you know, it doesn't have to be tea. We use lemonade. And you don't have to do it just at Christmas, but this past Christmas, some of the girls were over, and we had made cookies. And so then I got out my Lenox Holiday Christmas china. And we set the table with a pretty tablecloth, and we got the little plates out, and the cups and saucers, and my teapot, and we even put a Christmas candle holder on the table, and a candle. We lit our candle, and we had a Christmas tea party. And of course, pictures of that go in the album, I remind them of that. But tea parties are a wonderful thing with little girls. Read to them, or listen to them read once they can read. When children start reading and are able to read to you, what a joy that is. Hallmark, and I think maybe some other companies, put out some books that are for very young children, I would say toddlers, where you record yourself reading the story to them. And that way they can have this book in their home when you're not even there, and as they look at the book and turn the pages, they're hearing Grandma or Grandpa read the story to them. And so those are really good for toddler-age children. Laugh at their crazy knock-knock jokes. Our grandsons can come up with some doozies that aren't the least bit funny, but they're funny because they're not so funny. But you laugh at them and you think they're funny. You let them think they're funny anyway. And then just tell them often that you love them. Give them lots of hugs. And you know, I'm finding that even as they get older, they don't mind Nana and Papa giving them a hug. But you do want to be cautious about that, especially not in front of their teenage friends, maybe. Okay, category number 5 is to show an interest in their lives. When possible, attend their activities. Now, it's not always possible, but when possible, attend their soccer games or their baseball games or their recitals or their school programs, their band concerts, their birthday parties. Let them know you're interested in them. Then I have a folder for each of my grandchildren that when they draw a picture or they write out, sometimes they send us a little thank you note for something that we've given to them or something that we have from that particular child, I put it in their folder. Now, I do not keep everything, but I do have this folder. And, you know, one of the fun things is for them to get to look back over it and see how they formed their letters when they were first started writing them or how they wrote their name. Those are so cute, and they enjoy seeing things like that. And they also like to see their art displayed on my refrigerator. Many times they'll go to my craft table and they'll draw a picture or color a picture or do something especially to go on my refrigerator. And when they come over, they look to see whose artwork is on the refrigerator, and I better have theirs. So I kind of check that before they come. Send them cards or emails or texts. At Valentine's, we send a card and we enclose $10, and we just say, "We love you." Just a way to express yourself to them. And a friend of mine, fairly recently at church, she came into church and she said, it was on a Sunday morning, she said, "I just texted my son who's in the military and told him I was praying for him and I love him." So, see, your grandparenting doesn't ever have to end. And I was impressed with that. And then listen to them. You know, we can get so busy and they just chatter, 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 chatter that we don't listen to them. Well, listen to them, look them in the eye, and be enthusiastic about things that they do and say. Ask them things. Ask them about school. If they're in school, ask them, well, what was the best thing about your day at school today? And you know what that does? That keeps them from being negative. You want them to tell you the best thing. You don't want them complaining about what happened. You want them to tell you the best thing. Or even just say, after they've been with you for a while, well, what was the best thing? What did you like best about what we did today? But just help them to be positive and see where they're coming from and what they're thinking. Ask them what their Sunday school lesson was about. Now, you don't want to wait till too late in the week. Just like if I were to say, what was the preacher's sermon on last week? But ask them what they're learning in Sunday school and just show an interest in their lives. And then support and help their parents is the next category. Offer to keep the grandchildren for the parents to go out on a date night, or for them to have a weekend away, or an anniversary trip, or even just for mom to have a day to go shopping, or a day to spend all by herself. You know, I never get turned down when I ask, could we have the children for the day or for the evening or whatever? I don't think I've ever had them say, well, no, I don't think so. They say, what time will you be over? Then be sensitive and alert to the parents' wishes and the parents' rules for the children. If the parents don't want the children to have candy, don't offer them candy. And don't have a candy dish set out where they would see it. So be alert to their rules and sensitive to that. And don't be critical of anything the parents do or say, decisions they make, or rules that they have. You might not agree with everything the parents do. You probably won't. You know, we don't agree with each other, do we? But you never express that to your grandchildren. Instead, you praise the parents. And you help the children to be thankful for their parents. You might even, sometimes when they're over and maybe you're working on some crafts or something, maybe it's mom's birthday's coming up, or Mother's Day, or Dad's birthday, or something, say, why don't you make a card for them? And let them make a card to take home to them. And another thing is take them to a pottery store. I know we have several of these pottery stores around the Indianapolis area. And let them make a plate with their hands on it to give to their parents. And with one of our families, the two little girls, I did this as a surprise to the mom for Mother's Day, for them to give to their mother for Mother's Day. And, of course, she displays them in the kitchen. And that's really important to the grandchildren, but I think it meant a lot to her also. So these little plates that they can do with their hands on them. Category number 7, teach them character traits and manners. Remind them to say please and thank you. Read books to them that teach character. One of the books that we have that I really like, and the grandchildren love it too, is The Children's Book of Virtues by William Bennett. It has some really good, fun stories, but they teach morals and character qualities, and so that's a good one. Also, insist on obedience. Teach them the obedience song, or sing it with them, or whatever. And especially when you're in charge of the children, when they're in your care, when they're in your charge, insist that they say please and thank you and obey. Now, when the parents are there, you know, they're in charge, you have to really be careful. I think you have to be careful of that because you don't want to overstep the parents. But you could just say, now, what do you say? Or something like that, but you wouldn't want to correct them. But teach them, insist on obedience and please and thank you when you have them. Have them help clean up after playing or eating or something like that. A song I learned a number of years ago from my dear friend Alice Jones, who is sitting here in our class. Raise your hand, Alice. She teaches our kindergarten class here at Colonial Christian School and has done that for...
26 years.
Okay.
41.
Okay. So she's had a lot of work with children. She has done a lot of, I say, writing songs. She's taken a lot of songs and put them to a familiar tune. And so I've learned several things from her. But this is one that I've used with my grandchildren and still do. And it's called A Helper I Will Be. And it's to the tune of Farmer in the Dell. And it goes like this. Excuse my voice, but I'm going to sing it to you. A helper I will be, a helper I will be. There's work to do, there's work to do in my family. A helper I will be. There's work to do. There's work to do in my family. So, you know, when they play with some toys, they have this pile of toys, and they're going off to play with another pile of toys or get some more toys out. Okay, I stop them and I start singing, "A Helper I Will Be." And they know that's the cue that they're supposed to come back. And I'm not going to clean up their toys. I'll help them. But I have them clean up and not just walk away from them. And the same with after we've had a meal, they'll pick up their plate to take it to the kitchen counter, and they'll start singing it themselves. Some of the little ones do, "A Helper I Will Be." And so I know that it's gotten through to them. So anyway, that's a cute little song to just teach them to be helpers. Patch the Pirate CDs are good to have. It's good to have for you to have some for your house or your car, but also to give them to your grandchildren for gifts. They teach wonderful character qualities. Then praise them for good manners and good character traits. You know, the tendency is to say, "Oh, you're just so pretty," or "Don't you look nice today?" And that's okay. But it's more important to praise them for, "Thank you for obeying me. That was very nice. You are pleasing the Lord when you obey me. Thank you." And really make a big deal when they obey or when they do something that they ought to do. Praise them for good manners and good character qualities, character traits. Take them to minister to others. I mentioned our Christmas Eve morning visit that we do, but also for several years, often on a Saturday morning, we took two of our grandchildren to Panera for breakfast. That was the fun thing we started with. And then a lot of times we would take them to a nursing home to see a lady. And they always got excited and when we told them that this Saturday we were going to go see Miss Margaret. They got to love her. They would go and they would sing songs or say little scripture verses or something like that. So anytime we said, "Well, we're going to go see Miss Margaret after we eat breakfast," they were always excited. Well, when Miss Margaret went to heaven last fall, they were sad. This was the first time they had ever experienced a death. They didn't know of anybody that had died. And so it was a wonderful teaching opportunity to teach about death and salvation and about heaven and eternity. And so teach them to minister to others, and it keeps them from being always thinking of themselves, me first, okay? And then the last category I have is long-distance grandparenting. Now, as I mentioned, all of our grandchildren are fairly close, so I'm not a long-distance grandparent. And maybe you aren't either, but we never know when we might become long-distance grandparents, right? So I asked Alice Jones, who is a long-distance grandparent, to come up with a handout, which you have. We won't go over this now, but the last handout you have is from Alice. And she has one grandchild in South Carolina and four grandchildren in Costa Rica on the mission field. And so she's a wonderful long-distance grandparent, and she has some wonderful ideas. Also, though, on this sheet, you'll find things that are good for just regular grandparenting, and so I think that will be a help to you. I also talked to one of our church secretaries, Diana Hamrick. She has grandchildren in South Carolina and Michigan, so she's a long-distance grandparent. So I said, "Well, what are some ideas that I could share from your perspective with the ladies?" And here are some things that she told me. She says, have a weekly contact. She said, either a phone call or a text or an email or send a card or a note, but keep in touch with them regularly. And then send stickers or other little things to the little ones. They love getting things in the mail from Nana and Papa or Grandma and Grandpa. And visit on special days if possible. Now, it's a little bit harder when you're a long-distance grandparent. You can't always just be there for all of their things. But if possible, be there for their birthdays, for school programs, for Grandparents' Day at school and things like that. Take an interest in their sports, their school, their music, and other interests. Just, you know, If you know they've had a soccer game or something, call and say, did your team win? How did you do? Did you make any goals? Just be interested in things that are going on in their lives. An idea I read about said this. My husband and I made a Build-A-Bear for our granddaughter. Since there are four paws on the stuffed animal, when Anna presses the paws, she hears either Grandma or Grandpa's voice saying things such as, Grandma loves you, Anna, and so does Jesus. Her parents play all four paws every night before Anna goes to bed, so our granddaughter is learning the voices of her long-distance Grandma and Grandpa. That's a good idea, isn't it? And then another idea that I have gotten from Diana Hamrick, our church secretary, is something that she has done, and I have observed this. If you don't have grandchildren in the area, look for a family in the church who doesn't have grandparents in the area and adopt them. The Hamricks, Terry and Diana Hamrick, adopted a family that has three sons. The family that they adopted, the lady came in here before our session and gave me a hug and said, oh, I know you're going to do a good job, la 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 la, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to mention you. She says, you are. So I told her I was going to tell about this, and she says, you know, that is the biggest blessing that we have ever had. And so here are some things that Diana says. Well, first of all, just look around and see, find a family maybe that doesn't have grandchildren, and just kind of watch and see. You know, you could select them, and I'm sure that they would let you adopt them. But here are some ideas from Diana. Chat with them at church. Take an interest in them. Give them lots of hugs. Do special things for them for their birthdays or for Christmas or other times. Have the family over for a meal. Have them over for make your own pizza night, or bake brownies, cookies, breads, or something to give to the family. Keep them overnight for the parents to have a night or a weekend out. Take the mom out for lunch. Be her friend. Be there for her and answer questions for her. You know, you can even become a sort of a mentor for the mom, helping her even with her parenting and all of that. Then the last thing she said was, treat the family just like you would treat your own, and what a blessing you will receive. And I can tell you, the blessing is both ways. Leah Elms, who was in here and told me it's been such a blessing, Diana would tell me the same thing. This has been such a blessing to us. They are just like family to each other. But in conclusion, whether you see your grandchildren often or your long-distance grandparents, love them, enjoy them, pray for them, talk about the Lord to them, let them see in you a godly example, an example of a godly Christian grandparent who loves the Lord. Let me finish with just one other thing, and that is Rebecca Lutzer is the pastor's wife at Moody Church in Chicago. And she wrote this: my grandchildren don't have to do anything for me to adore them. I long to be with them, watch them, hear their sweet voices, hold them in my arms, receive their spontaneous hugs and kisses. They give unconditional love and joy. What do I love about my grandchildren? Their laughs and giggles, sitting on my lap to hear me read a story, their excitement and joy when they see me, watching them take part in a program or a sports event, wanting to sit by me at mealtime, telling me about an experience they've had. And she finishes by saying, I love being a grandmother. And I would say amen to that. Ladies, I hope this has been a help and a blessing to you. And again, if you want to see me and ask me anything, just feel free to do this. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. And Lord, how I pray that these nuggets might have found a place in the lives of these sweet ladies who want to live for you and love you and see their grandchildren love you also. Bless in the following service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.